Hello, everybody. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And like always, I've got a couple questions for you. Are you free to live your life the way you want to? And if so, are you doing it? Today, our study in the book of Galatians focuses on the apex of this book, where Paul explains that freedom is the whole point of everything. The gospel is the power that frees us from the prisons of either overdoing or underdoing everything. Join me now as we learn to see that our captivity is not imposed on us by an external force as much as it is our unwillingness to simply walk right out into the freedom we've already inherited. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for coming back to another episode of Beyond Everything Radio. This podcast is for you. And folks, I'm so glad to have you tuning in. My name is Kevin Winder. I'm your host. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach. So glad to have you with me. Thanks to all of you new folks just tuning in. I love the feedback. I love your comments. I love that this series is giving you a lot of questions. It's great to interact with you. Folks, please, anytime you have a question, a thought, something you want to say, a criticism, you want to say, hey, man, I think you're missing it. I would love to hear from you. And I mean that sincerely. You can always reach me. Just go to my website, kevinwinder.com. And there's all kinds of different ways in there that you can get a hold of me. Sign up for Winder's Windshield. You can always reply to every newsletter. And I will answer every single one. Folks, thanks so much for your feedback. It's been really helpful. And we are in the midst of a series. We have been, since the beginning of this year, walking slowly, I guess, through the book of Galatians. Now, the book only has 6 chapters, so you'd think, gosh, this should have gone by relatively quickly. But what I'm doing is a thematic Bible study where I pull the major themes throughout not just this book, but all of Paul's writings and how they dovetail into this book. And kind of building a case that is something that we don't really see that often. So often when we go and we sit in our pews at our local community church, the pastor reads these passages and basically runs them into a paradigm that we've all heard before. In this case, I'm trying to let the passage do the talking. What is it actually saying? And how did I get to that conclusion? And it takes a lot of work. And here we are, I don't know, end of February, and we're still only just now getting to chapter 5. But today we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and a little bit beyond that, because this is absolutely vital. And so thank you for coming back and tuning in to podcast number 172. This is going to be The Freedom You're Not Enjoying. That's right. The title of today's podcast is The Freedom You Are Not Enjoying. Now, we're going to just start right off, like I said, with the reading from Galatians. And this is important because Galatians 5:1, as it's written down in the English Bibles, really is a continuation of the last chapter of chapter 4, the last part of chapter 4. It ties together very, very well, not only to both, but what it is, it's a very pivotal section of the book. So up until this point, Paul has been building a case. Up until this point, I've been trying to communicate that case that Paul is building, and that is one of great frustration, even confusion, about how this church, this community of people who were freed from religious oppression, religious requirements, people who were not a part of any religious institution came along, and how all of a sudden they've all gone backwards into adopting certain religious practices. And Paul is like, look, man, this is not it. You're missing it. And I understate it, even though I make a big point to say it. Paul goes so far as to wish that the people who have deceived them would emasculate themselves or castrate themselves. Think about that. That is a big statement, right? And so what is Paul building up to? What's the whole point of this entire book? Well, this is what we find here in chapter 5, right? The whole point of this book is your personal freedom. It is your personal freedom. And this is what he says. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, if you go back to the previous podcasts, I explain what that means. I explain what that work of the gospel, this message, this inclusive story, this inclusive message of ali-ali income free, right? The work of Christ, which he ties to Abraham, right? Which is a non-religious thing. and we're going to get into that. This is the gospel he's talking about, right? And he says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Think about this. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. That's what he's talking about. Now, he's talking about it externally on religious institutions. He's saying, don't submit again to a big religion. But he's also talking about internally, the captivity of your heart, right? So often we hear about how sin holds us captive. And we're going to get into this a little bit later and what that actually means and what that looks like. But for today, just think about this. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. It's like, don't do this again. Don't go back, right? Now, I've spent the entire year proving that Paul's gospel is not an exclusive religion-based belief system, that it's only offered, you know, somehow to churchgoers. Instead, Paul is adamant that the gospel is an all-inclusive message that liberates people without subscribing to a religion, right? The work of Christ, as we talked about, is not limited to those who lay claim to Christianity. Did you hear me on that? I hope so. Folks, the work of Christ is not limited to only those people who call themselves Christian. Otherwise, what is Paul's point about talking about how Christ influenced Abraham? Right? Okay, so it's not limited to those who lay claim on Christianity any more than it was for those who lay claim to Abraham. That's the whole point of Galatians 3:14. So freedom then is this big thing. But I think most of us in America really, I mean, we love our eagle images and we love our soldiers and we love our warrior stuff about freedom, but I don't know that we always really understand it. You see, freedom is not contingent on everything going as planned. It's not a transaction. You don't really win freedom in a big war. Now, I get it. We have our right to free speech and whatnot and political stuff because of war at times, but this is not the freedom I'm talking about. Freedom is not a quid pro quo. I'll give you freedom if you give me this. You see, it's not an earned merit. It's not something that you get by religious affiliation or a practice, like, oh, only good Muslims are free. Only a true Christian is free. Only the enlightened meditator of Buddhism is free. All of these world religions are pursuing freedom, folks. But freedom is not a thing to possess. Freedom is a state of being. And I hope you can understand that. I really do, because the sooner you do, it will help you. Because until we learn that freedom is a state of being, freedom will elude us. Freedom is ontological. That's that big seminary word that means being. You know, this illuminates, freedom always illuminates our three-sided cages. Ontology, right? A sense of being. And what do I mean by three-sided cage? I'm going to get into that, but it just simply means your prison doesn't even have a back wall. You can walk right out if you want. See, it means that we no longer have to search for a key or wait for the jailer to come and open the door. This isn't some systemic thing that's oppressing us. We simply need to turn around, which is the biblical word metanoia, or rethink or repent, and see that there's no wall on the backside of our cell and we can just walk out. The gospel says we can just walk right out into our freedom with no strings attached. You don't have to become a religious person. You don't have to subscribe to a particular religion. You don't have to do some kind of ritual. The gospel is so big and so inclusive. It just says you're free. The wall's gone. Just go. Whenever you're ready, go. And you see, inner freedom is the prerequisite for our outer freedom. And so maybe you're thinking, gosh, Kev, I look around and if you examine the lives of those around me, it's pretty obvious that, you know, most people I know are not really free. Certainly not financially free, right? Most people are not living emotionally free, right? You've got your families that you're kind of, you know, burdened by or responsible for or accountable to or influenced by constantly. Most people are not living financially free, right? You can maybe barely make your bills. Maybe you're way over your head in debt and you keep going in debt. Maybe you're not vocationally free. Maybe you're in between. You're underemployed. Maybe the market has changed. Maybe something else is happening and you don't really have a lot of options. You know, you've only studied one thing like most people. And so you're kind of not free. And a lot of people are not spiritually free. They're not free from religious tradition. Right? Most people feel like, you know, God is only happy if I show up at mosque on Friday or temple on Saturday or church on Sunday. See, we're not free from our pasts. We're not free to dream and to hope, really. In fact, the culture kind of likes to have TV shows and songs about freedom and hope and joy. But in reality, most people you know driving down the highway are not living a life of dreaming and hoping. You see, we live in these countless prisons, little ones and big ones, and not because we can't free ourselves. That's the big news, folks. It's not because you can't free yourself. It's because we simply won't leave our prison. See, people ask if I believe in a literal hell. And man, is this not the perfect definition of how most people live? You live in a living hell. Oh, you can actually free. Like, you don't like your job. You're not making the money you want. You don't have the relationships you want. You don't have something else. You're not free. You got a dependency, an addiction, or something else. All of this, you can just walk right out and change it. Yes, that will take time. I mean, you didn't get in debt in one day, right? You got in debt way over your head many, many decisions at a time. And you're going to get out of debt many decisions at a time. The prison of your own failing health in part may be due to age, but so much of our health problems are because we've made poor decisions on what we eat and how we live. And to make that change, you can be free today and know your body will not move into conformity to that freedom until you practice that freedom every single day. You got to walk out of that prison every single day with our addictions and everything else. This is all it is, right? But it's so much more than that, right? Fear of the unknown is this inner captivity. See, bondage is distrusting the freedom that's available to you right now. See, we don't believe that we're really free. We don't want the responsibility of being free. We don't want to be accountable. See, our institutions don't want us to be free either. I mean, if you derive your identity from the rules of any institution, whether it's a church or the government or your work employment or whatever it is, then inner freedom will really be of no value to you. And that's what Paul says in Galatians 5:2. Freedom eludes those who prefer to be governed. Is that you? See, obligation to family, religion, occupation, or country, that's just another prison that masks itself as the nobility of serving in love. But you see, love never experiences obligation or duty because love compels us to serve from a place of inner freedom. If you feel obligated and you're just begrudgingly doing something because you know it's the right thing to do, you're not doing it out of love. You're doing it out of an inner captivity. Think about that. Paul's wisdom reveals that we don't become captives by passively being overtaken. We actually welcome our captivity by surrendering our freedom. Henhexome is the word, which means to submit. to slavery or to control, to lay it down, to give up, right? This is the point of Paul is making here, and he's making it at the end of chapter 4. Like I said, verse 1 of chapter 5 really fits better into the end of chapter 4. But chapter 4, verse 7, Paul tells us that we're heirs of God, sons and daughters of God. We have an infinite amount of resource, and then we just submit to slavery. See, we don't have to stay in our cages. That's the point. This is why Paul is so upset. Who bewitched you? Who's convinced you that you can just lay it down and act like this and start succumbing to religious rules again? Who's allowing you to submit to the things inside you? How did your shadow overtake you again, right? We all deal with this. This is, freedom's a big deal. We don't have to stay in our cages. The resources of God are available to each of us at each and every present moment. So how do we miss this? How have we got ourselves into this bondage? Because we're all in it. None of us are completely free as we want to be. And that's kind of the point. It's that in one sense, you are completely free because of the work of Christ. And inner freedom can take place at any moment. But living out of that place of freedom requires continuity. It requires discipline. It requires humility. It requires doing it over and over and over again. It requires returning to a place of inner freedom. And so often we just get distracted and go off the rails. And so the answer is very simple. How do we get into this? The solution is not always so easy. You see, when we can't tell the difference between them, we willingly trade our freedom for bondage. Like, you can't tell any better than I can sometimes. Bondage from freedom. Right? We always think we're moving towards freedom, but so often we just put ourselves back in a prison. That's because we can't see. We lack vision. We lack sight. We're not enlightened. Right? For example, you could take a job that offers you more money, and that might promise more financial liberation, but it actually imprisons your time, and then you just move from one cage to another. Oh, now you have money, but now you have no time. See, we can ensnare ourselves in obligation because we assume that it brings us approval or status or power, and then we lose our outer freedom because we're now obligated to everything, right? And we lack our inner freedom to say no. We stay in dead-end jobs. We stay in dead-end relationships. We stay in dead-end geographies because we've given our power over to family or other institutions, haven't we? Well, we can't. I just can't leave them. This is what I've always done, and I guess I just need to just stick it out, right? We have the power to leave if you want. But we don't. We cling to the bars of our three-sided prison because sleeping into poverty is easier than the discipline of staying awake. And I know that hurts. It hurts me too, the sobriety of that. But that's just the reality of how we get ourselves into this mess. You see, we submit to bondage because it's not as scary. Bondage is not uncertain. It's not as nebulous as a free life. I mean, think about it. I do this all the time when I uncoach people. You know, we always expose how one's lack of quote-unquote success is not usually overcome by just adding effort and output to an already busy life. And that's what most coaches do. Oh, the reason you haven't reached your big dreams is because you're just not disciplined. You're just not working hard enough. You just don't have enough things to do. You're not trying hard enough, not taking enough shots. And there are certainly people for whom that's true. For the most part, freedom begins the moment we lay claim to our inheritance. It's Paul's point. And start to enjoy that which we already possess. You see, in Galatians 5:6, he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, I can't say that word, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but are only our faith working through love. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're doing it or not doing it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count for anything. It doesn't matter. What matters is your faith. Is it working through love? See, Paul is showing us that freedom is first about ontology. It's about our being. Our doing counts for very little until we have inner freedom. And then we're able to do out of a free place, and then our doing actually matters. You see, we endure bondage because we think we need to wait for it, just wait it out. You know, we have one day disease. Freedom means we can begin living a free life right now. Faith working through love means that our life moves into increasing conformity to freedom so long as we remain internally free. See, if you have the free space inside, then every decision you make is going to be reverse engineered from that place of freedom. If you're not free, then everything you do is just kind of a shooting from the hip. You're kind of chasing after the wind. You're hoping it's going to free you, and most likely it will just put you into another prison. And like I mentioned before, it's like getting into shape or getting out of debt. Our lives conform to our beliefs, to our faith. Right? It's to what you believe is actually true. And if you believe something is true and it's not actually true, your life will move into conformity to untruth, which is captivity. Faith working through love enables us to negotiate the world in a very counterintuitive way. Paul calls this living in the Spirit. I call it flow. Right? There's a new way to live in the world. And it starts by being free on the inside. And when you're free on the inside, everything on the outside starts to change. This is the whole point. It's been done for you. You can start today. No matter what mess of a life you have, your inner freedom can begin right now. You can start making small, incremental decisions from a free place that will have a combined effect on your life, because as you begin to live and move from that free place, your life will move in conformity to freedom, and you will be free. See, you're free right now to reconnect to your maker, just like I am. And reconnect, I just mean it's like you can charge your cell phone, your spiritual phone. You might only have one bar left. See, while we're alive, we all get the same 24 hours. We all have 5 to 10 minutes every single day. I don't care how busy you are. You have 5 to 10 minutes every single day to just sit still and be present, just like I do. Now, I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody. I get going and I just kind of not connect. I don't charge my battery. I don't find that inner place of freedom. But all you have to do is nothing. Yeah, don't do anything. Just sit still in the quiet and just be. Try not to think. Just breathe. Take air in. Take the word for breath is spirit. It's wind. Same word in the Greek. When you breathe, you take spirit in. You breathe spirit out. There's an exchange going on between you and your maker. You just become aware of it. Be conscious of it. This is the basics of all meditation and contemplative prayer. Right? You just simply become aware of your body, become aware of your life, your living, your being. And as you realize that you're just in this experience of being in a body, being here right now, you realize that you're in a presence when you are present. As you become aware, just be grateful. Bask in the gift of this freedom. If it can only last for a moment, then bask in it for just a moment. You know, when Jesus was asking his disciples to sit up with him right the night before he was crucified, he asked Simon in Mark 14, he said, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for just 1 hour?" Right? And it's kind of an indictment on all of us that we have a hard time accessing this inner freedom. And this is what the Eastern traditions have been doing for many, many, many centuries, right? Eventually, we begin to live from this place of center, this place of freedom, this place of power, rather than constantly returning to just charge into the power. And hey, if that's all you're doing, that's great. It's more than many people do. But eventually, true freedom is living from this place. And think of the decisions we would make. Think of how we'd handle our choices if that was really our place of being. You see, we are all free to do this every single day. So why don't we? Why do we choose something that seems more important? Why do we choose email or my list of things to do, or I gotta return that call, or I gotta do this one thing, or I need to run, I need to... Why do we choose something that seems more important than inner freedom? And then later we just complain that our lives are not free. Isn't that amazing? There's something about this process that makes it really, really hard. And Paul is going to take us right into that. And we're going to look at that next week. You see, it's not easy to maintain this centered place of tapping into inner freedom, because a shadow has been cast over the light within us. And I hope you'll come back next week when we dive into that. Greetings, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder from Beyond Everything Radio, and I really want to encourage you to go to my website right now and sign up for Winder's Windshield. That's my weekly newsletter, and you can find it at kevinwinder.com. When you sign up, you'll join all the others in the virtual space. Each Sunday morning, you'll get a link to my blog, my radio program, and my podcast. You'll be the first to access new content, uncoaching opportunities, and webinars, and so much more. Sign up now and you'll get a free e-version of my book, Getting Better When You Can't. Now, go to kevinwinder.com and remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Go to kevinwinder.com and look for Winder's Windshield and sign up today.